Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by Renew Church. Renew is committed to reaching people and building lives through faith, family and fun. We hope you'll be blessed by this message.
Okay, fantastic. I want to talk about prayer again this morning. Not that Matt didn't do a good job last week. But I want to just carry on. Just something that God's really put on my heart today. Share with you. I'm going to race through it real quick, and then we will perhaps do a bit of praying at the end. Good to pray, isn't it? Genuinely believe God's calling the church to prayer. Matt, one of my heroes, about 6 months ago, and he sort of went up to him, and he was sort of one of my sort of spiritual heroes, and he was talking to him, and he said all he talked about almost was prayer. He said, well, what are the keys to doing this? What do we need to do this? And all he would talk about was prayer. He said the whole time nearly he was talking about prayer. Why? Because prayer is absolutely the key. Not just the starting point, the end point, everything about it is prayer, isn't it? And it's so, so important. So I just wanted to look real quickly at what God's challenged me on over the last few weeks, certainly the new year, since I've looked at this. So Matt looked at it last week and he talked about three things that are sort of the product of prayer: direction, availability and refreshment. I'm sure you all remembered them and they're impacted on your brain and you couldn't forget a word that he said. But I just want to look at three other products of prayer this morning that I think are so important and so necessary, and something that when I look at this, it inspires me to want to pray more, to get involved more, and have more of a heart to prayer. You see, the reality is that there has never been a revival or a real move of God where prayer wasn't the starting point. Every time you trace one, whether it's in the Hebrides, whether it's in Wales, whether it's anywhere else in the world, you'll find there'll be at least one or two or three people that have worn their knees out in prayer first before God comes and shows up and does what only he can do. And that's the starting point. And so many of us, we want the beautiful move of God and everything else, but we've got to get on our knees and we've got to pray and plead with God to come and change like we have done this morning. So I just want to look at three real quick points and then we'll move on and pray. Is that okay? Are you with me? Fantastic. I like to hear a little noise to make sure you're awake, preferably not snoring. Okay, my first point in prayer is this: personal relationship. One of the main purposes, and I believe actually God's main purpose for prayer, is to increase and improve our personal relationship with him. And I think it's important, I've put this as the first point, because actually we need to sort of get our heads around a little bit why we pray before we pray. Because what happens is very often when we come to prayer, we come with our own agenda of this is what I'm praying for. So you'll come with a list and that's fine. I pray through a list sometimes. We pray through certain things. And our purpose for prayer very often is to get our prayers answered. And there's nothing wrong with that as our purpose for prayer. But we have to ask the question, that's my purpose for prayer. God, what is your purpose for prayer? And very often I believe that God's purpose for prayer, in fact, nearly always, is that actually he wants to improve our relationship with him. And he will overcome, like he won't answer our prayers. Sometimes we say, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? Why aren't you giving me what I'm asking for? It's because his purpose in prayer is very often different than our purpose in prayer. And when we get our heads around that just a little bit, suddenly how we pray, when we pray, the way we pray is a little bit different, because we see that God has a different purpose to prayer than we. When his heart is just to get to know us, then prayer drives us. And when we sometimes might ask them questions, God, why is this happening to me? They're the times that so often, I'm sure you'll all be with me, that you're driven to your knees. There's times in our lives when we have the ups and we're sitting, we seem to be in the valleys, and we're asking God, why? And God says, this is why, because suddenly you're asking why. Suddenly you're talking to me. Suddenly you're spending time with me. Suddenly you're desperate for me. And you begin to glimpse something new of me. So God's purpose in prayer is always that we get related to him. To close, as you read through the Lord's Prayer, that he told us to pray, so much of it is about relationship with him. It's not about getting stuff. It's not about doing stuff. It's about how you are and your relationship with him. So that's the first point. I got through that one real quick, because the third point is the one that God's been kicking me on, so I want to get to that as quickly as possible. So the first point, that God's purpose for prayer is personal relationship. The second point is this: with prayer also comes power. With prayer comes power. We all like a bit of power, don't we? But what happens is when we pray, suddenly the Holy Spirit decides to get involved. When we pray about situations, we're not taking it into our hands, we're taking it to God, and he sends his Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Peter Cavanagh came and spoke on the Holy Spirit, one of the best teachings I've ever heard on the Holy Spirit, so clear, and he told us, and the Holy Spirit was behind us for a while, then suddenly he was leading us and he was taking to the, so clear and so great, and that's what happens when we pray. Suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and enters some of those situations and power comes. I just want to read from Acts. I'm reading through Acts. You've probably guessed from the start of this year. I've started to read through Acts. I just want to read a couple of readings. The first one's up here. It's Acts 1, 12 to 14. Beautiful. Thank you. And this is what it says. It says, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present." We'll skip through that. Verse 14, "They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus." And then we skip on to chapter 2 and verse 1 to 4. It says this, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." So if we just have a little think about this situation. So Jesus has come, he's lived his life, he's been with these disciples for 3 years, every sort of waking moment he was with them almost. Then he dies, he's resurrected, they see him, he's about for a while and they meet him, and then he's just left, he's just been transfigured, he's just gone, ascended up into heaven again, and they're left and he's told them, he's just instructed them to wait. To wait. And sometimes it's difficult to get our heads around how they must have thought, because we know what happens next. We've read what happens next. We know what happened when the Holy Spirit came on that incredible day. And so we know what that. But I just sort of took myself in that position, and I've just been told to wait, but actually I've got no idea really what I'm waiting for. We've been told that this Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to baptize us with fire, we're going to see all incredible things, but we actually have no idea what that's going to look like. I don't think Jesus told them what's going to happen is you're going to wait in a room and you're going to be praying, and then all of a sudden there's going to be a rushing wind and tongues of fire. That they didn't know this was going to happen. All they knew to do was to be come together and to pray together. And something told them that they needed to do this straight away. And so they've got this incredible moment and they're not sure really what's going to happen. They didn't know what it meant, but they knew for some reason they had to come together and they had to pray. They had to plead to this Jesus that has just left them, say, "God, what's next? We don't know what's happening, but here we are, and we're praying." And then suddenly, power came. You see, the prayers of these people produced the Holy Spirit, and power entered their lives in a brand new way. And it said he came, the Holy Spirit will come, and it will enforce you with power. Power will come upon you. And so what happened with this power? This power came, it didn't just come so they could say, "Oh, that was nice. That was nice, just it warmed us up a little bit." It wasn't that sort of thing. It was something incredible that happened. And there's two things that I see that happened straight away. One that I've always known, and the second I've just looked over and never thought about, that were great things that the power that they'd prayed for and it came upon them, the Holy Spirit did. Two things. So suddenly the first thing was that these normal people that were quite frightened, terrified people were suddenly had a new boldness upon them. It says that Peter got up and he suddenly began to preach boldly before all these people that had heard him speaking and speaking in different languages, weren't sure what it was happening. And Peter suddenly speaks with a boldness he never had before. This same Peter that denied when a young girl came up to him and said, "Did you know Jesus?" No, nothing to do with me. Suddenly there's a boldness on him to speak into these people, to speak to lives, to change and speak sort of just not a beautifully written sermon that he'd prepared 3 months beforehand, but on the spur of the moment, something's in him. The power of God is in him. The Holy Spirit is in him. And he speaks words of boldness about what happened to this Jesus and speaks words of truth about every single person that was listening to him and what they actually did with this Jesus that they'd seen before. And that's incredible, isn't it? That power. I pray for that power in my life because I get moments when I don't know if I'm like you, but I'm at work or whatever it might be. I'm in a situation, I'm thinking, God, I just need to be bold here. But so often I'm more like the one that says, yeah, just back off and stand back. And I need that boldness in my life. I need that boldness to speak the truth of God in love to people every single day of my life. I'm desperate for that and I need it more and more. I can do this quite comfortably. I love it and it's exciting. But in those one-on-one moments, that's where I pray, God, I need your boldness. In those situations where absolutely everyone else is against you, it seems, and you have to stand, it's difficult. And I pray for God's boldness in them moments. So that's the kind of the power that first came that I knew about and I understood. But then there's a second thing that happened that actually I believe the Holy Spirit did that is even a greater miracle than the boldness that came upon Peter and upon the other disciples. And what happened was, it says it in verse chapter 2, verse 37. So he comes, he preaches this sermon, and this is what it says in chapter 2 of verse 37. It says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? So we need to just understand ourselves and get into this situation again. So here we are, these thousands of people that are gathered. That's how bold Peter was, that he was obviously speaking loud enough for thousands of people to hear without a microphone or a PA system. He's speaking boldly. But then it says these people that were gathered and heard it, there must have been thousands of them because it says 3,000 were baptized a little bit later and they were converted. And it says he stood there and these same people that just previously, not long ago, had watched Jesus walk the streets, had seen him probably raise the dead, had seen him heal the sick, all of these undeniable facts that they'd seen it, and some have kind of followed a little bit just to see what was happening. But now we were down and they'd seen him crucified and they'd probably heard about him rising from the dead, didn't know what to think about it. And these people that were all doubters and actually said, Jesus has nothing to know, it can't be true. Can't believe it. And the disciples, the followers are down to just 120 of all those multitudes that had followed him. So these people had seen all of that and didn't believe. They'd seen Jesus do this incredible stuff and didn't believe. But all of a sudden, Peter stands up. He speaks some of the stuff that they'd seen happen, already believed and not believed. And suddenly it says, the Holy Spirit must have come upon them and it convinced, it said it pierced their hearts. And then suddenly their eyes were open. And to me, the greatest miracle that the Holy Spirit did, the greatest power he showed, he began to open people to the truth. It began to pierce into people's hearts to know the truth about Jesus. And the power that I'm more desperate to see than that boldness is that Holy Spirit that will go before us and it will pierce into people's hearts. So the words that I say will actually hit someone and say, I believe that is true. Suddenly people's eyes will be open to believe this incredible truth. And that is the power that we need more than anything else. Because we can work, we can make a program, and we need to make programs. We can be organized, and we need to be organized. But unless the Holy Spirit comes, and unless he starts to convict people, and unless words that we speak pierce people's hearts because the Holy Spirit's anointing is upon it, then guess what? We're wasting our time and we're talking to the air. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to work outside of this place as we walk around, as we live our lives, so that people's lives are transformed because their eyes are open. The Bible tells us that no one can see unless the Holy Spirit's opened their eyes to see that they can see. And sometimes we need to pray so much more. Sometimes we perhaps just jump into stuff and do stuff where we don't pray and we get the Holy Spirit's power to come in to do the bits that we cannot do. We can't save a single person, but we can point them to a direction and then the Holy Spirit can reveal something to them and show them truth. And that's the power that we need. That's the power that can only come through our prayers as we pray. And that's the power that I want in my life. And I'm sure you do too. Fantastic. So that's the second point. The purpose, there's almost the results of prayer is that power comes and takes place. And this is the third thing. This is the third thing that's really hit me recently, just as I've been reading and praying. I'll read from just one of the verses we've already read. It's not up on the screen, but I'll read it for you. So Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says this. It says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, So we've read that one. And then in chapter 2, verse 1 again, it says, on the day of the Pentecost, our day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. You see, the third thing that's so important that prayer can bring is unity. So important. So important. The thing that God is just impressing on my heart more and more is the importance of unity. And unity is absolutely vital. You see, this week's been an incredible week. I've absolutely loved this week. Just praying together with some people I've never prayed with before. Just praying as a group and praying on our own is fantastic. But guess there's something different when we come together and when we pray and when we just share our hearts with things and we pray with each other. There's something that is just very, very beautiful about that. And it brings a unity. This week's just been great for that. It's been great to see so many out, as Matt said, literally hundreds of, certainly over 100 people, I'm confident of over, it's great to see that this week. And it just brings a unity, I believe, that you just can't get anywhere else. You can't get without coming and praying. It just does something and brings an incredible unity on everything. And it might, you see, when I was praying with some people, we've all come from different backgrounds, those people we were praying with. They've got different even thinking on certain things. We've got different, perhaps, ideas about how things should be and stuff like that. But there's something that unites us as we come together and we pray for God to come and do something, to change things, to step into situations. Suddenly, something happens and something changes and unity happens. And that's what's so important. The word actually used is, I'll do my little bit of Greek for you today. Paul will tell me if I'm right. So the word that they use in this is, here it is. I don't even know how to announce it. I did look at it, but homothumadon, that's how I pronounce it. And it's a Greek word, and this is what it means. It means being unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group unity, one mind and purpose. And that's the same word that's used both in those two verses that I just read earlier. And it's nearly always in Acts, this verse. It's a very important sort of phrase that's used. And I always say that the word Acts, book Acts, is called Acts for a reason, because there's Acts in it. People get into action. And after this phrase is used every time, it'll say, I think it's certainly four or five times it's mentioned in Acts. I've got it written down somewhere if you want it afterwards. And every time it happens, something happens after it. It says they were united in one purpose or one accord, and then something would happen, whether a miracle would take place, whether people get saved, whatever that is. After this moment, this word is mentioned, people normally pray, there's unity, and then God steps in and does something incredible. I don't think that is a coincidence. That is one of God's principles in life. When you pray, you do something together, you become united, and then God steps in and does something. And there's something very special. It actually comes from the Greek word. I actually read this from homo, which means the same, and then thumadon, which means a heart, like almost a spirit moment. So it means you're one in spirit, you're one accord, you have one purpose in what you're doing. And it's so important, and prayer is so important in this. You see, each time it's mentioned, it's something incredible happens. And being in one accord, doing something together, is so vital as a church. We need to get behind everything that happens in this place. Do you know what? You might not like everything that we do and how we do everything, but we're not worried about that. What we need to do is to get behind, to pray, to be united with us and purpose. And then we can see God do something like it says in the Act. Stuff like that happens. We can't let little things get in the way. Why is unity so important then? Why is it so massively important? If you read Psalm 133, this is what it says in this. This is David talking. And this is what he says. Beautiful passage of the Bible. It says, how wonderful and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced or commanded his blessing, even life everlasting. Wow. So what's David saying? He's saying that if you come together, when we dwell together beautifully, when we all get together and beside our differences, we are united and we are together, we have one accord, we have one heart and one purpose. What's he saying then? He's saying that's where God commands his blessing. He pronounces his blessing over us. And when we're together, when we have one heart, one direction, when we just say, yeah, we're going to go for this together, then suddenly God speaks his blessing over us and his blessing over everything that we do and where we go. And we might not get everything right, but he speaks his blessing over us. And that's why it is so important. So what were they united in? They were united in two things real quickly. The first thing they were united in was their love for Jesus and each other. Wow, they were so united in their love for Jesus and for each other. John 13, 35 says this. This is what Jesus says. He says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Wow, haven't we got a long way to go? The church in this country is most known for falling out with each other and hating each other. Yet Jesus actually said, the love for one another will prove to people that you are my disciples. Wow. Wow, what a challenge that is. If you want someone to know that you're a disciple, it means you've got to love every person in this place. Wow, what a challenge. And a lovely challenge it is. But that's what it is. They had such a love. They were united in love, and they were united with their love for Jesus, but also for each other. And we need a purpose to love each other. It's not about being, when I say it's a unity, it's not about being a uniformity. We don't have to all be the same. Thank goodness we haven't got 200 Matthew Murrays in the building. One is more than enough for the planet, let alone your toxeter. But isn't it great that, even more so, more than one of me, but isn't it great that we're all different? It's not about being uniform and having the same ideas about everything. But it's about being united on the goal and the purpose that we want to reach. And it's so different. You see, Hebrews 12, 14 to 15, this is why it's so different, because this is what happens if it doesn't work. Hebrews 12, 13 to 14 to 15, and I love the writer at the very start of this, he says, work at living at peace with everyone. He understands people. The writer here says, work at living at peace with everyone. It's not easy. We've got to work at it. And then it says, at work, at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. You see, it's very interesting there, talks about a poisonous root. He's talking about being united. He's talking about being at peace with each other and getting together with each other and getting on with each other in harmony. And then he talks about a poisonous bitter root. And the thing is that very often that the poisonous bitter root is that the root's the bottom of the tree that you don't see, isn't it? The plant, generally speaking, the root is underground, generally speaking. And it's the poisonous bitter root that you could just begins to eat at you on your inside because you're not quite getting on. Something's rubbing you up the wrong way. Someone is just winding you up and just something is starting to stir. And you can hold the tree up for a while when your roots are beginning to rot. You can probably stand up a little bit and you can might even be producing a bit of fruit. But if you've got a root of bitterness in you against somebody, one of your brothers or sisters, then eventually it will poison you, like it says, in the poisonous root until it actually takes over your life and your life will just become dead and unfruitful and useless. And that's why it's so important that we are united. Not that we're all going to get on, not all going to be the greatest of mates ever, but we are united. We're going in one direction. We're doing this together to get to one place. And it's so, so important. So they were united in that, and I've kind of almost jumped onto this point already, but they were also united in purpose, their unity of purpose. And our purpose is really all that I could genuinely say this whenever we meet as a leadership team or as a few different people around the church. I genuinely believe our purpose is always exactly the same. We want to tell as many people we can about the good news of Jesus and get them to come into a relationship, a growing relationship with him. Everything that we do will come out of that. Everything that we do, and that is our purpose. If you want to know what our purpose is, we want everyone that we can to hear about Jesus, the good news of what he's done, and them to come into an incredible personal relationship with him. That is our purpose. And if that's a purpose you can't get behind, then you probably need to move, because we're not going to change our purpose for anything. And that is our purpose. And you might not exactly like how we do things, and we will get things wrong a lot. We will. We'll try and we'll pray and we'll seek, but we'll still get things wrong. But guess what? You can get behind the purpose. You can pray for the purpose. You can pray for the guys. We need to so get behind and pray. I was thinking this morning, every single one of us in this place, I believe, should pray for Matt and Becky at least once a week. Put time aside and pray incredibly into their lives that God will bless them. Even if they're doing stuff that you don't like, even if I'm doing stuff, you need to get behind and you need to pray, God, will you just do something incredible in that place? Why? Because you're united in purpose with them. You might not like styles and things like that. Well, don't worry about it, because it'll all be different when we get to heaven. But we've got to do something to get as many in there as we can right now. And that is our purpose. And that's what they were united with. And we need to be united in too. We need to get everyone in it. And when we start to pray in it, suddenly you'll find you need to have a heart to serve. When you start to pray about these things and get behind people, you'll suddenly need to have a prayer. We need God. You need you to come. And when you pray about it, you'll find bitterness. You can't pray for God to bless something and then be bitter about it at the same time, because you're not being real. You've got to pray God's blessing in, and God will do and step in and do an incredible thing. I wonder if the band could just come up now. I've nearly done. So real quickly then, why is prayer so important? I'm just going to recap, and then we're just going to pray in a minute. That would be great. So the first thing is, why is prayer so important? One, it's about your personal relationship. Whatever you are, wherever you are, your personal relationship is so important to God. And that's God's number one purpose in your life through prayer, your personal relationship with him. Because everything will come from there. Whatever it is, it will come from that one thing, your personal relationship. And there's only one way to do it, is to spend time with him and getting to know him. Everything else comes out of that. The second thing is, it will bring power. As you pray, you'll find new power in your life. The Holy Spirit comes and steps in and does things, as Matt talked about yesterday, last week, about opening doors and certain things. But that power of opening people's lives that are around you, unlocking people's hearts, so that your words, when you're talking, those things that you do when you're living it, they won't just be some words that will bounce off, but they'll pierce into people's hearts. They'll pierce into people's lives, and suddenly eyes are open to see truth, to see that Jesus, he is the only way. He is the only answer. He is the only result for this world that we need right now. It's only found in him. But we need the Holy Spirit to produce that and to make that happen. And it comes through prayer. And third, prayer will unite us. We're stronger together. We're stronger when we're pulling in the same direction. We're stronger when we're not bickering. We're stronger when we're not sort of gossiping about somebody, about someone, about something. We're stronger when we just decide to get behind someone, even though we might not like how they do it. We're stronger when we suddenly realize that we have a purpose because we're praying for them, and I've got a part in that purpose. Even as Matt said today, when you pray for something, you've got a part to pray in what's happening on the other side of the world, and suddenly there's a unity there. You could meet some of these people one day and say, I knew you were praying for me. Why? Because we're united in prayer, and prayer can bring that unity. Prayer can bring something that will just change it. And if you're struggling with unity, if you're struggling with something that you sort of can't seem to get behind, begin to pray for it. Begin to pray that God will bless and do something amazing and incredible in those times. I just read a quote this morning. I just want to read it to you. And then we're going to pray. But we've had a great week of prayer this week. I think it's been so great to see so many here and doing something. And this is what, let me find his name, E.M. Bounds said about prayer. He says, talking to men for God is a great thing. And that's great. We will do all we can for talk to men about God. It's great to share the gospel. This is what we're here for, to talk about the gospel. But this is what's greater, he says. But talking to God for men is greater still. Shall I say that again? Talking to men for God is great, but talking to God for men is greater still, and women. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. We need to pray. We need to pray. God, I just pray now. God, just makes, oh God, we are getting desperate, Lord Jesus. Probably not desperate enough, God, yet, but we need you, awesome God. We need you, awesome God, in this nation. We need you in this town. We need you in this church, awesome God. In this community, Lord Jesus, we are desperate for you. Just before we pray together, while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, maybe just that talk of personal relationship. Maybe you've just been in here for the first time today. I don't want to give anyone go away without giving anyone an opportunity today to understand a little of that personal relationship. You see, I can commune with God and talk to Him and talk to Jesus just as I can talk to you right now. Why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. As He laid His life down for us, as He laid it on, suddenly He spread His arms out and He's connecting me up to the Father. And maybe you've not got that relationship today. Maybe you've been here and you think, there's something here that I haven't got. This morning could be your morning. And you might don't have to know all the answers. You don't need to know all the whys. But if you're saying, you know what, I want to be a part of that. I want to be in a relationship with that. I want to put my hand up and say, Jesus, if you're real, if this is what you want, and you actually want a relationship with me, then I say, God, I want it. I don't know about everything about it, but I want it today. If that's you, just put your hand up so I can see it and we can pray. Just for a few seconds, we'll not drag this out. Is there anyone in this place? I wouldn't want anyone. Fantastic. Anyone else? I wouldn't want anyone to leave this place saying that I didn't know Jesus. We don't know how long we've got. Don't leave this place without knowing where you're going to spend eternity. Anyone else? Okay, now we're just going to pray. Let's just stand to our feet, shall we, and pray. I just believe right now that if we've prayed already once this morning, but I just believe there's something in us that says we're going to keep praying. And we'll pray and we'll press through. Because God is a God who wants to bring power to us. God is the one who wants to pray up, make our prayers powerful. God is in this place today so that our personal relationships are stronger. And He wants to unite us in prayer. Why? Because we want to see, we want to believe, we want to see the things happen as we read the book of Acts. We don't want to just read about them. I want to be seeing them in my life. I want to be seeing the lame walk. I want to be seeing the dead risen. I want to be seeing thousands come to Him. And it can only come as we really get on our knees and pray and we plead with the Holy Spirit to come. And He steps in and He begins to open people's eyes. He begins to believe and He begins to pierce into people's hearts. So let's begin to lift our voices right now. Let's just begin to pray. Again, let's just begin to pray. Don't worry about the person next to you. This is about you, an awesome God. Will you plead for Him? Maybe there's someone in your family today that is in desperate need of Jesus. Will you lift your voice and cry for them today? Will you lift your voice for those that you work with today and say, God, will you just come and step into their lives? Let's begin to lift our voices. Let's not be shy. Holy Spirit, would you just come right now and create boldness in us, awesome God? Boldness to speak your word where we live. Boldness to speak your word where we work, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you go before us? Would you begin to pierce the hearts, Lord Jesus, of those we live with? Would you go before us, Lord Jesus, in everything we do? Holy Spirit, I pray for every plan we have in this building, Lord, but I pray it's saturated in prayer, saturated in your Holy Spirit. I pray you'll give us a burden, Lord Jesus, for the lost, that we would pray with our hearts. Lord, our knees would be worn out praying, awesome God. Lord Jesus, the first thought on our mind would be to gain your presence, Lord Jesus. The first thought in our night, before we last thing we think before we go to bed, is, Lord, I need you. We need you, God, today, Holy Spirit. We plead with you, God. We're desperate for you, Lord. Oh, may we never settle, Lord Jesus, I pray. Never play at church, awesome God. Never go through the motions, oh God. But we pray today that you would just put a desire in our hearts. Help us not to rest, Lord Jesus. Help us not to just rest on anything, Lord, but to plead with you and pray with you and call on you today, oh God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God. Let's just sing, Lord, You Have My Heart. And then we're going to make our way out today. Thank you, Johnny, for a great word, for stirring us once again. Don't forget to come and talk to us at the end if anyone needs anything. If you want to sign up to a life group, if you responded to Johnny's prayer, if you want to sign up to sponsor one of those six girls, come and see me or Dana at the back. But just for a minute or two, why don't we just sing, Jill? Sing, Lord, You Have My Heart. Thanks.
Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for another encouraging message.